Welcome Pastor Rob this morning for his great sermon that he is going to share. We love you, Pastor Rob, so much. We're so grateful for you.
Good morning, everybody. Bless you. Thank you, worship team. You're great. We love you. Hey, I want to especially welcome Pastor Rick and Terry Ashcroft, pastors of Cooktown. Bless you. Where are you? Oh, there you are. You're such a slim bloke, Rick. I just can't see you in the crowds over there. They were with us for a number of years. And how long have you been gone? 15? 20 years. Wow. Amazing. I look the same as when you left. Sorry about you, but hey, life's good. Hey, they're doing a great job up there in Cooktown. I know it's a long way away, but they always love visitors. So you can go up there and see them and see what's happening. And we appreciated so much their work in the church. Rick was such a fun guy to be around. And I want to say, Rick, the laughs aren't as many since you've gone. So, but we're working on it. We've got a good team. God loves us. Can I just, before I get into the word this morning, there's two things. I want to show you a little video clip, and it's of Z talking to Angie. And just in following on from what we did last weekend with Mike Smith and how people can reach other people, and that was very encouraging. Thank you for those who came Sunday morning, Sunday night. He shared a great thought with us and possibilities, and we want to keep developing that, and we are as a church. But just take a look at this little video clip, please. If you can find it.
Hi, church. I'm here with Angie this morning. We are going to be sharing testimonies and how Angie has actually shared Jesus with her neighbor. So we just want to be a church that shares Jesus in everyday life. And so today, Angie's going to share her story about her neighbor. So Angie, go for it. Tell her, let's know how God has used you in your everyday life to share about him.
Okay. Well, first of all, I need to let everyone know that I'm not one to preach the gospel to everyone. I'm actually quite shy. But since my husband passed away, I've noticed that I've become stronger in my faith. And I've now just totally surrendered myself to the Holy Spirit. After Dave passed away, we had a couple move in 5 doors down from me, and they were lifetime friends of Dave's. He used to work with Dave as a cabinet maker, and it's just a pity that Dave had already passed away when they moved in. But I would sort of help them because he wasn't well, he wasn't healthy, so I'd either sort of maybe take him to appointments or, you know, shopping with her.
Yeah.
But and he probably passed away 5 to 6 months after they moved in. So therefore I was there for her to talk to if she wanted to, because she doesn't have a license at all. She's probably about 8 years older than me. And so she, I'd sort of take her shopping or just getting out and about, have a coffee or whatever. Yeah. One day we were over her place and I must have been there to do something for her. And she said, she was at the kitchen, she said, "Do you know, I never used to pray until we got close.
Wow.
I'm there, "Oh, really?" I said, "Oh, okay. So what do you pray?" And she says, "At night time, I pray for my kids, you know. I pray that, you know, because she has a lot of pain and all that sort of stuff, she prays, you know, for things to happen, you know." And I said, "Do you ever thank God? And she said, "Oh, no." And I said, "Well, that's a really good way to start, you know, is thanking him for what you are grateful for, you know, that you've got this house here, that you've got your kids, and start that way."
Yeah.
So that was fine. And then later on, another time we were just there sitting, and she must have asked questions about God sort of thing. So I sort of said to her, "Are you interested in knowing more?" And she said, "Yes." Holy Spirit saying, "Let's go." So I had the sinner's prayer on my phone. So I got her to say the sinner's prayer after me. And when she was saying it, you could see she was very touched by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
She was crying and sort of very emotional sort of thing.
So wonderful. Angie, thank you so much for sharing your story. And it's just wonderful to hear that how God can use us in our everyday life. And Angie's never got saved. Praise the Lord. And God can use you too.
Yes.
So thank you for listening today. Bless you. Bye.
Very good. I'm not sure whether Angie's here this morning, but if you are, God bless you, Angie. That's fantastic. She's here. Bless you, Angie. Listen, one day, people who don't know Jesus have to face the Lord, and they'll be cast into a place where there's an absence of God. It's what we call hell, but it goes onto the lake of fire from there. And I don't want a friend to turn and look at me and say, "You never told me." That's the importance of it. So Angie reached a friend. I encourage you too. Pray. Meet with them. Develop your life with them. And you can touch them in a special way. People are looking for something special in this life today. And we have the answer. And it's selfish if we don't share it. So we'll share more of those with you as we go along because I think they're important. Also, the other thing I want to announce to you is next Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., we are having a memorial service for Pete Dutoy. That's Jark's dad. Remember, he died about 5 or 6 weeks ago after a car accident. Sad occasion. Shocked us all, really, because he was a very fit man and well, and probably, and I mean, his mother's 97, not out. She's going on, so he probably had a long life still to go in front of him. But we trust God in these things, that God knows what's happening, and I believe God's protection is around people. Pete's run his course. He's finished the course. Fulfill what God sent him to do, and I guess that's what's happened in his life. But because those of us who knew him well and really appreciated him, just wanted to have a memorial service. There's people coming from out of town who'll be here. You're all invited. It'll be here at 3 p.m., and it'll be a special afternoon of sharing stories. And there's lots of good stories about Pete. He was such a fun man. And so you're welcome to come. If you want to be part of that, that will be good. All right. I want to move on this morning to talk about the kingdom giving. And this is part two. I'm doing a little series. And as I'm working through this, I just feel God is opening things up, certainly to me, but I'm going to share them with you about giving. And giving today isn't a popular subject because people have abused that in Christian circles by saying, if you give me $10,000, I'll see God give you $100,000. Well, I think that's so manipulative and so wrong. I hate it when I hear preachers do that. And therefore, I'm coming from an aspect, I believe, I want to touch you with what God thinks about giving and how giving can fit into your life. And so, remember, giving is more than money. Some people think, I just put money in and that's it, it's all over. No, first thing you've got to do is give yourself to the Lord and then you flow on from there. So I want to encourage you, listen to what I have to say. If you didn't hear the first series, the first part of it, go back and do that as well. Because giving, I think, is misunderstood by a lot of Christians and it's been abused. And I don't want that to be in your lives, in your hearts, because some people say, oh, church, all they want is your money. Well, I'm not asking you for money. I'm just sharing with you what I believe God says about giving. Let me just recap for a moment. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, the aspect of that is that God is a giver and he gave something. He gave his life, literally, because Father, Son and Holy Spirit, if I said they're one entity, it's very hard for me to explain that. I think we'll find that out when we come to heaven. Pastor Ben might have clearer theological thoughts on that than I have, but I just accept it. That's what the Bible says. And we know the Israelis used to pray, there's one God. And so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet God gave his son, he gave a portion of himself, if you like, to die for you and I so that we could have eternal life with him and through Jesus Christ, our Savior. But the point of giving was to receive. God just didn't give without an expectation that something positive would happen, that the people that he loved would respond and come, you know, come to him and receive Jesus and have relationship with him. So it's a powerful thing. God's intent, I also believe, is prosperity for our lives. And I see that in Scripture. I think John 10:10 makes that clear when Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Abundant life doesn't mean that I'm living on the street under a piece of cardboard trying to survive, eating scraps. I might be a Christian, but that's not God's intent. And I'm not trying to say God wants to just make us all super wealthy so we can live in huge houses and have lots of cars and boats and everything like that. I don't mean that. But abundant life means a life that's holistic, that we're spiritually, we're born again, we're made whole. Abundant life means that there's provision from God for us, our daily bread, somewhere to live, protection. Abundant life means relationship with other people. And so don't just limit what God might say when he says, "I want you to have abundant life, I want you to have prosperity," because he intends it, that we might have a peace in our minds. If I was choosing a career today, I think I'd become a psychologist, because there are so many people in need out there, you can't get in to see a psychologist around the place. So that tells you something. People are struggling in the mind with a need. And so we, of course, have an answer. And abundant life is part of that. We receive from the Lord, our minds are sound. Okay, I want to, remember I talked to you about the why and the how and the what and the where? Well, I want to follow on with that this morning. The first thing is to know that God's essence is loving and giving. He's a generous God. First of all, in the loving. Do you ever wonder why God created the earth and then put all the stars out there and the planets and the universes and the galaxies? I know they're searching for life beyond here. They think there might be intelligent life out there. There could be, but I don't believe there is. I think God's intent is on this earth. Everything about the earth is amazing. If it was, you know, 1 degree off balance, there'd be a problem. There'd be an ice age or it'd melt or whatever would happen. Yet God has set a planet called Earth in place. And the reason he did that was he wanted to create a being, you, that he could love. He could show you his love. You ask, you know, having children is a beautiful thing. But I was talking to Angus during the week and he's up during the night, the little baby cries. You mothers know that, and I guess we fathers do too. But he'll come back for a second child. And then a third, and by the fifth or the sixth, he might say, "Well, that's enough, we won't need any more." It amazes me. Some people have lots of kids, and that's great. I think it's great. But what I'm trying to say to you, the reason you have children is because you have a love to be expressed through your marriage into children. And that's how God feels. And that's why he created man. You are not an accident. You are not just a product of your parents coming together and you were conceived and born. You are here because God created you. You are God's creation. You're God's life that he wants to pour his love out on you. That's why this earth was created. He needed a place to put his children. This is not like somebody with a toy box that gets the little toys out and plays with them and puts them all back afterwards. God's intent is you. You were intentional. You're not an accident. You're not just an occurrence, a biological occurrence. I don't believe for a minute that we came from the slime, the primordial slime. Chemicals formed and suddenly we started to develop and evolution happens. If evolution happens, why aren't we still evolving? Why do I lose hair? Why is my body getting older? I should be evolving into a more perfect being that lives 1,000 years. Well, that's how they started out, living 1,000 years, and then it got worse. Time went on. That should tell you something. Hey, folks, please, will you see yourself in God's sight this morning? How much he loves you. How much he intended for you to be. Don't let anything, don't let the enemy tell you, "Oh, you're just a nothing. God doesn't love you." I tell you, God loves you so much that he gave himself for you. And I know you say, "Oh, he gave himself for the world." Yes, he did, but he gave himself for you. And that's why you can be thankful, and that's why you can rest in God's love and know that it's there. What he did with Adam and Eve, of course, was to come and persuade them they didn't need God. They could be independent of God. And just like, I know sad things happen in life, and sometimes children have to be taken away from very difficult situations. I know it's a very awkward thing, and it's not a good thing. But imagine somebody comes and takes your child away that you love. How much that hurts. You know, having this special event in 3 weeks' time for women who've suffered loss, I think is important, because for women, I know it's a difficult thing. It's emotional and it's painful, and I want God to minister to them, and I know they will through Pastor Faylene, because she's such a great lady and she suffered loss herself. So I'm just trying to come and convey to you God's love. He loves you. Absolutely. Don't ever believe. Don't ever say, God, don't you love me? Just believe it. Receive it. And if you're not sure, go to the Word. Get hold of the Word. It talks about God's love for you. Don't get stuck in the Old Testament. Go to the New Testament. That's where so much is conveyed there. The other thing about God is his generosity. He's a giver. He gives himself. He's proved it. I don't think we'll... I know we fully won't understand it until we get to heaven. Suddenly, and we'll see Jesus, and the revelation will just overpower us. But in the meantime, let's let it get in our hearts, the gifting of God and the love of God. And so we should be intentional about our existence, intentional about our spiritual life. What I mean by spiritual life, our connection with God, in conveying our love to him, in receiving his love. And when we talk to him like not as a foreign object, talk to him like we're talking to a father who loves us, who knows everything about us. And I'm just concerned there's a child in the doorway, and I'm always concerned about children near doors getting their fingers caught. Is there a parent out there with that child? Thanks, E. That's good. Sorry, folks, I do get distracted sometimes. I care for kids. I care for your kids. And I'll be rough on you if you don't look after them, okay? That's how it is. Okay, yeah, love and generosity. The next thing I want to say is from Luke 6:38. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over, shall men press into your bosom. The principle here that Jesus is bringing to us is that giving was to be a part of Christian life. And he's saying to people, give so that, you know, it can be returned unto you. I want to say something. If you don't release, you won't see return. As we sow, so we reap. Live by the sword, die by the sword. There's a principle in life that as you give from yourself, you receive back. Now, the receiving back may not be in kind. In other words, you might give a gift and you don't necessarily receive a gift back, but you receive a love back from a person. That's why we give gifts for birthdays and Christmas and things like that. We're demonstrating a love for people and they're expressing their love to us. But Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed. In other words, more than you give will be returned to you. It'll be multiplied to you. It's a principle of the kingdom. When a farmer goes out to sow and he sees the increase, he doesn't say, where did that come from? He knows where it came from. He sowed the seed. If he sows little, he receives little. And that's how it works. And we need to understand that these are principles of life, principles of spiritual life that we need to walk in. The third thing is, give with expectation. You know, I've told you in John 3:16, when God gave, he had an expectation. When God gave Jesus, there was no guarantee anybody would receive him as Saviour. But God gave with an expectation, a realm of faith, to see the release and people come to him. Thankfully, there are many people who've come to Jesus, like you, and like probably billions over the years have come to him. And that's a beautiful thing, and I'm glad for God that he has given and he has received. But we need to learn about giving, that God entrusts us with blessing, and into our life he gives that we might be stewards. We become channels of God's blessing. And when we don't come to the place of giving, then we block the channel. It can't flow. And so that's why we stand in faith and we believe that God is working with us. And I want to say this, faith arises through giving. That's my experience in Christian life. As I've given and I've given in faith, I've seen God bless and we've been able to keep channeling that way. Faith increases. I can trust God and what He does. So you need to believe that what you give to the kingdom of God will be multiplied, not only by God, but back to you. Think about the little boy with the lunch. Jesus took something and broke it and gave it, and he fed probably 20,000 people. I mean, that is a lot of people to feed. A lot of hungry mouths out there. And yet he gave that food and people were fed and there was food left over. So I believe that we give and it's multiplied back to us so that we can give again. God wants to transfer the wealth of the unrighteous to the righteous. How's that going to happen? It's not going to happen because God says, I won't mention any names, some billionaire out there who's not a Christian, who just starts sending $1 million checks every week to our church. I mean, that could happen, but I don't believe it will happen. But I believe that as we are people who know how to give in faith and trust in God, that God can stir the hearts of people to transfer the wealth of those who have it, the unrighteous. May they become righteous. May they become Christian. Start to give into the kingdom. But that may not happen. But I believe that that's how He channels to us as we learn to step out in faith and give, and then God can cause the flow. Maybe He causes them to become born again and they start giving to the kingdom of God and to the needs and things like that. But there has to be a heart in us. You see, we don't want to become people of greed. We want to become people who have a heart to give. See, and if we hang on to what gives us, that's the difference between giving to get and giving to receive. Is that giving to get is about an attitude of greed. I want it, I'll give it to get it. And that's what, sadly, some people in Christian circles have preyed on. They say, you know, give and God will do this in your life and give you all this. Well, I know God does a lot of great things, but it's got to come out of the right motive. And so, but giving to receive has a heart of faith to bless. And so when I give, I don't give to get back for me. I give to receive so that I can continue to be the channel that God intends, the flow of finance into the kingdom, into the needs of people. So I'm encouraging you, walk with me in that. Have an attitude. It's not just about my family. It's about the families around about us, many families as well. Let me draw you to a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. I'm not sure what's the version there. I'll read you the version I've written down. I think it's might be the NIV. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And as the scripture says, they share freely, they give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God for you. What does it say here? You've got to decide in your heart. I hear some, Ben Naitoko, who was with us in the early 2000s, always, you know, he'd share a story and God impressed on me to give, you know, this $100 or this amount of money or whatever's in my wallet. And I'm thinking, God, I struggle to hear your voice. You've never spoken to me quite like that. You know, I don't hear God saying, take what's in your wallet and put it out there. No, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. And I'm not saying I don't listen. But I think, you know, that's Ben and God. Ben's working with God and God's prospered him, certainly blessed him. I prefer probably more in the line of regular progressive giving. So that's always flowing there in the system. So find what works for you. It says, what you determine in your own heart And I encourage you, involve God in that, in prayer. And it says, a person who gives cheerfully. Cheerful there means a willing giver. If someone gives me a gift and they say, look, I really didn't want to do this. You're not worthy of this gift. And, I didn't spend too much. But here, and I've wrapped it in newspaper because I wasn't going to waste the money on a card or on a... I'm going to say, oh, that's so wonderful. You're so good to me. We wrap those up in nice paper and put a bow on it or put it in a nice bag or we put a nice card on it. Why? Because we're a willing giver. We want to give. It's not reluctant in what we do there. And then it talks about that we give generously to the poor. You want to know who the poor are? I'm going to come to that in just a moment. I'll come back to that one. But deciding in our hearts. And it talks about producing a great harvest of generosity in you. You know, one thing I've discovered about generosity, it enlarges you. The Bible says in Proverbs, the generous soul will be made fat. And I don't want to carry too much, but I like to be made fat in my soul. Fat soul, thin body. That sounds like a good organised program. Back to the gym. But generosity does something within us. You've heard the story of John D. Rockefeller, who was the oil tycoon of more than 100 years ago, and he got to the mid, he was about 50, and he was dying, literally dying, and all he could stomach was arrowroot biscuits and milk there. And he'd done terrible things to make money and receive wealth and people. They hung him in effigy because they hated him so much. But he got there and he thought, I've made all this money, and now I'm dying. And it doesn't mean anything. So he started giving it away. Created the John D. Rockefeller Foundation, which is still a huge philanthropic organisation in the US. Just began giving his money away. You know, he lived till about 93 years of age. Recovered his health. You see, generosity touched his physical being. Obviously started in his soul, but worked into his body. But the opposite can be true as we just stop being generous and hoard things and our soul shrinks and our body will act accordingly because there's chemicals running in our system and we start poisoning our body through a lack of generosity. When we, and just point four, he's the God of abundance. When it talks about bosom there, when men shall put into your bosom and the robes that they wore in those days, unlike us, they didn't have, I got two pockets on the back where I can keep a wallet, two pockets on the side, you get a phone in, you can literally take it, car keys, everything else that we keep in our pockets. Well, they didn't have pockets. So Jesus said they were going to press it in your, if Jesus was talking today, he'd say, they're going to fill your pockets and your pockets are going to overflow. It's just not going to contain all that's going to be put into them. Well, he's saying into your bosom. So that's what it means. It's going into a receptacle inside the robe there. He says it's going to be filled and overflowing. That's happening. But let's not... And then he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I know for most of you that you probably haven't seen these things, but I can go back to the days where you bought things and sometimes I had to weigh them. It might have been at the greengrocers and it might have been, I think sugar was a case in point. So they would get the old brown bag there and they'd put it up and then on the side you say, I want, so much weight of sugar. They'd put a weight up there and they'd keep pouring till things were equal. I know some of you are looking at me and wondering what on earth I'm talking about, but just stick with me. The point being is if that greengrocer was a bit of a cheat, he might have shaved something off that weight. So he was selling the sugar at so much in those days, a pound, but whatever, half a kilo today, that he could make just a little bit more profit. If he could get 5% on every sale, he'd be doing pretty well by the end of the day. You hear what I'm saying here. That's why Jesus said, good measure. In other words, it's not somebody's cheating you. It's not a measure that's been interfered with. You're getting the right amount of measure coming back into you. It's personal. That's what Jesus is saying. And then the fifth thing is, where do you give? Well, God's intention is for us to give to the poor. Who are the poor? Well, firstly, the poor are the spiritually poor. Listen, there are people going to hell who are billionaires. And when they get there, they'd say, I wished I'd given everything I could so I wouldn't be here. But it's too late. And so you can go to hell with great wealth, or you can go to heaven with great wealth, because God can do that for you. But the point is giving to the poor. We as a church are trying to reach out to people. We're trying to convey the gospel. That's why I appreciate Angie going, talking to a friend and leading her to the Lord. That's another soul in the kingdom of God. How wonderful is that? And what you give is helping people to find Jesus. That's what our church is about. That's what we send through missions to other places where they're sowing the gospel. That's what we try to do here in our city to share the gospel. That's why I brought Mike Smith in last week so that he can convey to you how we can reach people. How really it isn't that complicated to reach people. We think it's so hard to go and preach the gospel to someone. Well, sometimes you've got to work at it. In other words, you've got to build a friendship, a relationship, to be able to share something with people, or wait for the right moment where they say they have a need and then you pray for them. Just reaching out to people in general. In this day and age, God's doing something. And we need to keep our antenna up to see what God's doing and say, oh, can I share something with you? Can I pray for you and help them? And let God do something in their life. Show them his love and his hope that comes. So that's what we're about. So the spiritually poor. But there are others in genuine poverty, needs. And we need to be generous there too. I believe in giving to organisations that help those people. I think the Salvation Army does a great job. So I like to give to them. There's another one that operates overseas that helps people with their vision, helps them with their needs as well, other sicknesses. And I think that's good because it's a Christian organisation. They're ministering to people. They're carrying the gospel, but they're doing something positive as they do that. And that's what we need to be about in our giving as well. And that's why we're involved in missions and all sorts of giving. So we encourage people to do those things and to be part of that. In Psalm 126, it says this, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Many of you know who Manny is, but Manny has, he's got all these fruit trees and he's very generous giving things away. And I imagine you grow vegetables too, Manny, do you? Yeah. I've never heard Manny come to me and say, I sowed all those seeds and nothing came up and he started crying. He didn't get upset about it. But why? So why would the guy sow in tears reap in joy? That's a strange thing to say, because I'm relating that to a spiritual event. That's a metaphor for reaching people. So in tears. Tears means I feel compassion. Do you know, folks, we have a prayer meeting on Sunday afternoon and we're dealing with things. We're praying for the souls of people. We're dealing in spiritual warfare and stuff like that, because where I stand here, by my estimate, within 30 kilometres, so easy drive, there's probably 100,000 people destined for hell unless I can make a difference. And so giving involves not only, people always think giving, but they think money, but giving's much more than money. We give ourselves. I give my time in prayer because I want to see people born again. See, that's what it says here, that you sow in tears and reap in joy, the souls of men and women coming into the kingdom as the joy that we have. We sow in the tears of compassion. I just want to challenge you. Give your time to pray for people who don't know Jesus. They need him. But you can have joy too when they find him. And in verses 6, he said, continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. What are the sheaves? The souls of men and women. Going forth with tears, coming forth with joy. bringing the souls of men and women. We really need to come to the place where we recognise God's love that's on us. How cruel it is for me to think, thank you, Lord, you love me so much. Don't worry about my neighbour. They'll get by. They don't need you. That's stealing. When God's entrusted me with his love, I need to share that love. I need to do it. And sharing the love doesn't mean going and preaching the gospel or lifting the Bible to people. It means loving people and letting them experience the love of God that has come into my heart so they can find it too. This is what we're about. When I talk about giving, it's much more than money. Much more than money. People get locked in, oh, giving's just about money. No, it's not. It's much more important than that. In one sense, money's almost unimportant when we're talking about the souls of men and women and the kingdom of God. Luke 12:32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There's a day of accountability, how we lived our lives on the earth. Not whether we're saved or not. We are saved. We're in the book of life. That's not an issue. But we face Jesus, and our lives are judged on what we did with the life we have. And so you've got to do the best with what you have and what you are. But you need Jesus to be with you in what you do. And so you can ask him for help and he will flow with you. So he says, what did you do with the kingdom that I put you in? Because we are kingdom people. And so I want to pray, dear God, may you touch our hearts with such a realm of hope that we will also bring hope to other people. Amen. So, I want to pray this morning a flow of abundance on your life. But before I do that, can I just put this question to you? If you look over there, you'll see a banner and it says, why? Why Jesus? And what we're encouraging is that people may have that question in their heart, why should I be a Christian? Why should I do that? Or why am I a Christian? Some people might ask. Or in other words, you're on a journey. Or maybe you're just a seeker wondering, well, what's it all about? Well, there are going to be people over there this morning who'd love to talk with you. If you'd like to find your faith in Jesus Christ, they would be delighted to lead you in that way. And the hope that we have is Jesus Christ. All I've been sharing this morning about the realm of giving is we want to give you the love of God that rests in us and to show you the way to find true and wonderful life in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you to do this, that when we've concluded this morning, why don't you go over there and just talk to some lovely people who would just be delighted to share with you about Jesus Christ. It's what life's about, and this is what our church is about as well. So I'm going to get you to stand. I think we'll sing first, and then I'm going to pray a prayer of abundance over you. What do we got, Liz?
My whole life for you, Corey.
I'll go.
Everything for
Thank you, Lord. When I was about eight, it was Christmas, 8 or 9, I can't remember. And I loved to ride bikes. And so up to that time, I had to borrow them. So if I got a big boy's bike, I had to ride with my leg through the bar. If I got a girl's bike to ride, I couldn't reach the saddle, I'd still get on that and have fun. And then came the Christmas. My dad bought a bike for me. It was secondhand. He got it painted up, it was beautiful. I wasn't a kid. And it was the greatest gift. In fact, of all the gifts I think I've ever received from my parents, that's the one that sticks in my mind the most. When I think of that, I feel the warmth of my father's love, my earthly father's love. And of course, on that particular Christmas day, I didn't want to hang around for lunch. I had miles to cover. Get on that bike and go and show my friends. I was demonstrating the gift that my father had given me in love. And that's what we need to consider as well. We've received the greatest gift. Let's be like those going forth shedding tears and coming again in joy with the sheaves that we gather. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for abundance, Lord. You said that I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. I believe that. I receive that. I walk in that. And so, Lord, today I pray abundance over these people. Abundance of well-being. Abundance of peace. Abundance of prosperity. Abundance of life. Abundance of the love of God. Abundance of the word of the Lord in their heart. Abundance of truth abiding within them. Abundance of protection. Abundance, O Lord, of all the good things that you intend for their life, that we might truly be living in the glory of God, touched by the glory of God. Lord, we're not under the powers of darkness, and today, in the name of Jesus, let every power of darkness be rebuked over the lives of people. Every demonic power that's distracting, that's speaking into their lives untruths, I command to be broken this morning in Jesus' name, that people might know the truth and walk in the truth. So, Lord, I put my trust in you, not only for my life, but also the lives of every person here, that there might be a great grace abounding, a great love of God abounding. Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. This is what we're going to do. We're going to stop in a minute, and you can grab a cup of tea and coffee. Pastor Rick, Terry, there's espresso coffee outside for you. Guys, this guy drinks out of a bucket, I need to tell you that. He loves his coffee, so don't fill it up, all right? Just give him a nice cup of coffee. But bless them, please. And any of you visiting with us, don't move. Everybody stay where you are. Don't move. If you're visiting, we invite you to have a cup of coffee outside, or this percolated coffee over here, tea and coffee. Get some fellowship, show some love. But Jesus over there. Come on, some of you need to go and inquire over there. There's going to be beautiful people over there for you to talk to. And I'm going to stay here this morning. If you need prayer for anything, a little prayer team is just going to stand with you. Healing, whatever it is, we're going to lay hands on you and see God touch your life. This is a house of miracles. We believe in miracles. God gives grace, 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 and grace includes miracles. God bless you. Go and have a marvelous time. Look forward to seeing this afternoon in prayer meeting. And next week.